Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us for a few. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Everybody's here today. Mr. Horvat is here today. Chuck Freeman is here today. I don't know. We got some janitor. I can't pronounce his name. I think he's from Czechoslovakia. He's running around here today. Used to be a border guard there or something like that, and now came over.
He'll be your fill-in producer for the next 10 days. The guy from Czechoslovakia.
Jezky, you know. We'll be here. Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. Cool. I'm liking it. That being said, and we know that in town is Mr. Budenholzer, who apparently had, by the way, from what I understand, and I got a friend of mine real close with the NBA, and I texted, I said, okay, tell me, can Jabari be in the breakfast meeting with Budenholzer and Middleton, and as a restraint, before I even got the whole question, he's like, no, he can't be. Once that season is over, even though it's not an official end of the NBA season, he can't be with, he can still work out at certain things and do things with team activity, but he cannot do stuff in regards to coaching and all that kind of stuff. He can't do that. Not until he's re-signed, so to speak. So, wanted to make that clear. I was told emphatically no. So that's the reason he was not in that morning meeting with Giannis and Chris Middleton and Budenholzer yesterday. At least that's the way I understand it. We'll get verification from that with Gary Wolfel, our Milwaukee basketball insider. Gary, is that exactly what you hear and you understand as well?
Sorry to beg to differ.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure myself. I thought it was July 1st. Everybody knows the start of free agency is July 1st.
Correct.
But I talked to somebody from the National Basketball Players Association this morning that said, technically, Jabari Parker is not a free agent until July 1st, and therefore he could have been a part of that meeting.
Okay.
So
all right. Well,
this is coming from a player guy in the Players Association.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I talked to a player. So that was he said no. He said I wouldn't have been there. So emphatically no. He said no, I wouldn't have been there as a free agent. So okay.
Yeah. The other angle to this is that Jabari was in Chicago. I was down there yesterday, and I'm not sure if he was there yesterday too or the day before, but he was down there for the NBA pre-draft camp. And either the NBA or the Players Association asked him to speak to all the draft-eligible prospects. And so Jabari met with him at a downtown Chicago hotel and gave his speech.
Okay. Well, then there you have it. So maybe he was allowed, but he wasn't even in town. So who knows?
Correct.
But
yeah.
A lot of people are making a big deal out of this that he wasn't there. And that's why I wanted to kind of find out for sure. And because my first thought was, well, maybe he just wasn't in town because most of the players get out of town. But I know, talking from some people in the neighborhood, that he's moved his family up here. He has his house here. They still see construction going on. They still see a lot of work being done. He's still being seen in the neighborhood. So I thought, okay, well, if he is here and didn't go traveling somewhere, well, then why wasn't he there? So I went to one of my friends in the player, so to speak, who said, no, I wouldn't have been there. Can't be there. So, okay. Well,
yeah.
There you have it.
You know, the one nice thing about Jabari, Bill, is if he's in town, you usually spot him driving one of those old antique cars.
Yeah. Well, that's what a friend of mine told me was that they had seen him because of the cars, but they had seen him, I guess he was washing one of them or something.
Well, the funny thing is, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say. So, I mean, if the guy's in the neighborhood tipping his cap to people driving by, washing one of those 1964 Chevys, that's fantastic. I mean, the guy he's still here. I mean, at least you would assume that he's going to be here or wants to be here.
Well, somebody was telling me the other night, you know, he doesn't have any modern cars at all. He got rid of all his sports cars, luxury cars, whatever. And he's really, really consumed with these old-fashioned cars. But a guy was telling me a week or so ago that Jabari was driving one of them late at night, and lo and behold, it broke down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, somebody had to go and pick them up, and they had to get the car fixed.
Well, you know what? When you drive an old one, that's what you expect.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe you have cars that he drives in the day and cars that he drives
yeah.
at night.
But you know what? When you got that kind of cash, or you're going to have that kind of cash, you can always Uber it, you know? Uber
That's
is only
true.
A phone call away. Hey, Uber, I broke down. I'm the guy standing next to the 1964 Chevy Chevelle, and if you can come and swing by and get me, I got a tow truck on the way. How are we looking? I mean, that's you got that kind of cash. Gary, talking with Gary Wolfer, Milwaukee Basketball Insider. So from everything I've heard, and I broke it down, I called a buddy of mine that covers the Vegas leagues that has known Budenholzer for a long time. He thinks that the Bucks have knocked it out of the park. The way they handled it, the number of interviews they went through, the fact that they knew that Budenholzer was on their radar, but yet they still went through the process, the fact that they brought him in twice, they interviewed him. It doesn't matter where. He said, I don't give a blank if they interview him in Brazil. It doesn't matter. And then he said, the fact that they finally found their guy, and before they made anything official, they took him to the players and said, hey, guys, being Giannis and Middleton and saying, just meet with this guy and let us know what you think, to get the players to take ownership of it and sign off on it. He said he thinks they hit it out of the ballpark. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody could have any real issue with this hire. The thing I like most about it is, you know, I think I did a story probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. This was during the regular season, okay? That Mike Budenholzer had told some of his close associates around the NBA that he wanted the Milwaukee Bucks job, okay? And that, to me, spoke volumes, that a guy actually wanted a job in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know? Because there's not a lot of guys that do that. Usually it's the Bucks that have to go big to, you know, bring a coach here. And I just remember remember Chris Ford? Mm-hmm. When they hired him,
yeah.
It was like he was doing the Bucks the favor, okay? And there were several other coaches that came to Milwaukee. It's like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and you guys should be happy that I'm here. And Budenholzer has a different approach. I mean, he genuinely wanted to coach the Bucks.
That was one of the things that we addressed this in the last hour, was that he left Toronto without an offer, but there was the insinuation that had he wanted a job, he could have taken it, where he wanted to kind of talk one more time with the Bucks, and the fact that he wanted the Bucks job over mm-hmm. the Toronto job should speak volumes to the fan base in saying that, look, from the outside looking in, the upside for what this organization has might be better than what a lot of people think it is here in our own backyard, that tend to look at things in more of a negative light after, again, being ousted in the first round of the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the pecking order in the Eastern Conference outside of, you know, Boston and Philadelphia, you know, Milwaukee's as good a job as he could possibly get. So I can certainly see where Mike was very interested in coming here.
So what does he bring to the table in your eyes? Because I've talked about the kind of the player prowess, the fact that he is an open-door guy. And some guys say that, but he genuinely mm-hmm. is. He's a guy that'll work with you one-on-one. He's a... you know, I just heard a lot of positive things. Now, he's not a guy that is going to motivate via fear. He's not going to be a guy that's going to motivate you because you're afraid that you're going to have to go do 100 push-ups and run your tail off. He's a guy that just kind of walks in the room and has this modicum of respect.
Yeah, you probably nailed it in your description. I mean, you know, what I've told other people is I watched the Hawks quite a bit down the stretch last season after I found out that Budenholzer, you know, was keenly interested in the Bucks job. And the one thing I noticed was how he's so engaged in every game. I mean, he's on his feet basically the whole game. He's interacting with his players. He's interacting with the officials. And he's really in tune to the game. And the other thing I really liked, and I think Bucks fans should really, really like, is the fact that his teams move the ball. You know, you don't see one guy pounding it for 10, 15 seconds. If a guy gets it, you know, the ball's moved to a guy that's open. And I think that would serve the Bucks, you know, very well.
What do you think he is as far as an X's and O's guy?
Well, he's defensive-minded, which is a novelty around here, right?
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a stickler for detail. I mean, he comes from the Popovich tree and some of the same philosophies that Greg Popovich has in San Antonio, Mike Budenholzer has had in Atlanta, and I'm sure he'll have them in Milwaukee. But His teams are solid, whether it's offensively or defensively. They're very well grounded.
I like the fact that when you talk about being a player's coach, he's very much not just an X's and O's and not just a basketball guy. Sometimes, and I hate to bring up Jabari again, but you go to a guy like Jabari, and mm-hmm. when you talk to people around him, say, hey, he's a very, very loyal guy. And if you're straight in front with him, he'll run through walls for you. And a lot of guys on this team seem to be impressionable in that regard. It sounds like, at least not X's and O's, but more personality-wise, that Budenholzer probably was a very, very good fit for what this team has to offer.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I think is really, really going to help Budenholzer is that his top assistant is Darvin Ham. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Darvin Ham was an energy guy. I mean, he was the guy that would come off the bench, get two just terrible hacking fouls and three monster dunks, and then go to the bench.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot outside, you know, 15 feet. But
No, not to save his life, no.
He was a smaller version of Giannis, you know?
Yeah, if you could play horse with him from beyond the arc, you'd own his house.
Exactly. But you've met Darvin, I've met Darvin, and he is just an outstanding individual. He knows how to relate to people, and I've talked to a bunch of players who played for the Hawks and Darvin Ham over the years, and they rave about him. Now the big question is he going to come to Milwaukee?
He's his top assistant, right?
Correct.
You would assume he'd bring him here.
Well, that's the assumption, and I'm pretty sure he is going to be coming here. But having said that, I was told last week that at least one team, possibly two teams, were going to make offers to have him come to their teams as either the lead assistant or as an associate head coach. But again, I think he's going to end up in Milwaukee, but it kind of speaks volumes about, you know, the respect people have for Darvin Ham.
I wonder where the level of loyalty lies when it comes to Darvin. First of all, I wonder if the Bucks would do that and make Darvin Ham, say, an assistant head coach, if that's the title that he seeks. And secondly, I wonder...
Head coach? Yeah.
I was just going to say, and then I wonder where the level of loyalty or fond memories or the willingness to return or the want to return to something, you know, like Milwaukee. Wonder if that's so appealing to him that he would just say, you know what, I'm going to Milwaukee. I loved it there.
Yeah, he does love Milwaukee. In fact, I told some other people a story the other day and today again. It must have been 5 years ago, 7 years ago. I had a one-on-one conversation with Darvin Ham when he was at the Bradley Center for a game. And we were talking about him becoming a head coach at that time. And he goes, you know what, Gary? He said, I would love to someday be the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa, I had never, ever heard that. Excuse me.
From anybody.
From anybody. But I mean, even you know, like I've talked to countless, you know, former NBA or former Bucks players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever told me that. They said they wanted to be a head coach, but nobody emphatically said, hey, the Milwaukee Bucks. And Darvin Ham did. And again, I thought that's what volumes about how much he
Gary?
I'm there.
There we go. Okay. Lost you for a minute. All of a sudden you just broke up really bad. Anyway, in the long run, it sounds like it's a good hire. It appears good on paper. Now we just have to wait and see what they can do to the roster because you're only as good as the players around you. But it seems like there's a genuine amount of excitement for Budenholzer coming to Milwaukee. Always good, my friend, okay?
Hey, Bill, one other
quick
thing. Remember Kelvin Sampson, the former Bucks coach?
Yeah.
I heard this morning that it's basically 90% done that he's going to become the coach of the Orlando Magic.
Is that right?
John,
good for him.
John Hammond and Jeff Wellman. So,
good for him.
Yeah, great hire. Yeah.
Yeah, good hire there, too. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bill.
There you go. That's Gary Wolfel, Milwaukee basketball insider. Also, Kelvin Sampson looks to be going to Orlando. We'll see if that ends up panning out as well. Because give Gary credit. He called the Budenholzer thing 2 months ago. 855-830-8648. Your reaction, Budenholzer, the next head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Give us your thoughts. Coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.